AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It is time to get your Monday on. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man himself, Stretch Roberts. So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
That guy's rude calling me fat. All right, let's get into this thing. It is time to get a new week and a new challenge, because last week's challenge got obliterated. I will speak first on Ozempic. You guys know I'm doing the cheating weight loss now. We have doubled the Ozempic because I'm a fat F and my health conditions are going to lead nowhere good if I don't absolutely control my weight better. So doctor's been pushing it for a while and I finally agreed to it. So we're at double. Talked about that on the last couple podcasts. I can tell you, it was weird all week. Even on Friday, I bought just a typical lunch on my way into work. I didn't pack my lunch, and I ate probably half of it, and that was it. And it was tossed. I feel weird. I'm from that old school of don't waste food. But at the same time, don't be a fat ass is a better thing for me now. So waste it, to throw it away. I mean, I could give it to somebody, whatever, but I'm throwing away a lot of food. And that's cool. And then I had a great suggestion on either Facebook or Instagram to do a new challenge this week. Rather than a weight loss challenge, my challenge this week will be to do steps. And I told you guys I didn't want to throw one out there because I have no clue. I don't track that, or I have not track that. Now, granted, I wear a smartwatch and I have a smartphone. Most of the time, I have them on me when I am out doing my thing. And this is what I came up with for this week. So on day one, I had 7,200 steps. Day two, 6,900 steps. Day three, 6,700 steps. Day four, 6,100. Then day five, which was Friday, I only had 3,700 steps, not much walking at all. And then Saturday, back up to 6,500. And then today, I put a whopping 9,000 steps in, but I also did two walks with the dogs, one in the morning and one at night. And I must have done a lot of crap around that. Well, I did do a lot of it. It was cleaning and being my wife's bitch. So I was doing stuff around the house as well. So I have a lot of steps in today, 9,000. Now, looking it up, and in fact, I have an article coming up here where they highly recommend 9,800 steps a day, which is about 5 miles. And that's what I know everyone was hit. I got to hit those 10,000 steps. Well, I haven't hit 10,000 steps once. And on a day like today where I went for two walks and I still didn't hit 10,000. And I averaged these, I rounded these all down to the nearest number. So there's a few extra. I might have an extra 500-600 steps in there somewhere. But I figured, all right, my total for the week was 46,100 steps. My average, when you put all 7 days together, was 6,500 a day. So I'm not even doing 7,000. They want you to do 10,000. I'm coming up 3,000 short. Probably could have got that on Friday. I don't know why Friday's numbers were so low. Oh, well, I do know. I didn't wear my watch on Friday, and my watch is synced to my that's exactly why it's down. So while I was working, it never counted anything. I did not wear my smartwatch on Friday. I took it off when I, you know, sometimes you just brain fart and you take something off to take a shower and then you don't put it back on and you leave. That's what I did on Friday with my watch. So my number's probably a little higher, I will bet you. So at 46,100 for the week, let's say 55,000 steps is my goal for the week. That is my goal. That is the challenge. 55,000 steps for the week. That's fine. That's about 8,000 steps a day. So 9,000 being my ultimate high mark for the week. And I've got to get roughly about 8,000 steps a day. So that's a good goal, considering I'm at 46,000. So 9,000 more steps. I would need an extra big day, the biggest day I've had, thrown in there. So I've really got to pick it up those other 6 days in order to get it. I have this feeling I'm going to be looking around, and when I start to get to Sunday, I'm going to end up on this long-ass walk trying to catch up on all those steps that I didn't get during the week. But that's cool. I work a lot, and a lot of times at work, it's very different. Sometimes I'm in a car all day, and I'm not doing any walking. And then a lot of times I'm literally at my desk and there's not much going on and I do not get up and even walk around at work because the security cameras are doing all the work at that point. So that's where we are. We are shooting for 55,000 steps for the week. That is my goal. That is the challenge. I can keep the punishment the same. I can let Rocky screw up my show if I go beyond that. We'll see what Rocky does. Or let Rocky screw up at least a segment of my show, and then we'll play it back here for everyone to laugh at me. I'm fine with that. So that'll work out. And on the Ozempic front, I can tell you guys something weird happened today. I've been great. I've been, like I said, throwing away food. Today I ate like a horse. Now tomorrow, today as you hear this, Monday has been my injection day. That's the day that I take the new dose. I'm starting to wonder, I haven't talked to anyone else on it, so I don't know. Does this stuff fade like that at the end of the week? And if that's the case, you inject a day earlier. So if I would have injected today, I bet you it would have nipped that in the ass. I think would be my theory. I do not know. So now I'm alarmed at the bad day. Granted, I got a lot of steps in, so I did more exercise today than any other day this week, but I also ate like a fat pig. And that's alarming. So I gotta watch the Ozempic. The Ozempic will work for me. I just gotta let it work for me. I could chalk today up to a cheat day, but I haven't really been dieting. That's been the great thing about the Ozempic. I've just been eating what I want. I just not eating nearly as much. And you put yourself into a caloric deficit, and I've been getting a lot of walking in with the dogs, and that's good, and I need to keep that up. So that's where I am. That's my weird thing on the Ozempic. Today, literally, it was like it wore off on this seventh day since the injection. Tomorrow, which is today, Monday, would be the day that I'm supposed to shoot it back up. I might do that tonight after the podcast before I go to bed so I can really be ready for it on Monday. I got to watch this. I got to win this battle. This is a battle I need to win. All right, let's get into some health and fitness stories because that is what the podcast is all about. It is about working out. It is about getting your weight under control. And it is about being a fat champion, or hopefully a champion of being formerly fat is ideal. I have an article here about how to stay off dementia. Ever since President Biden here in America turned to mush brains and they threw him out, his own party threw him out. They threw him out, but anyway, we won't touch that. But that really shined a light on dementia and mental, old age related mental diseases. And there is some articles on how to avoid that, and this is a good one. They say there's a lot. If you want to avoid dementia and, you know, have an old person brain like I have right now, Adults should aim for 150 minutes a week of moderate to intense physical activity, 2 days of muscle strength training a week for general good health. And they say walking's a good way to get in those recommended minutes of that 150 minutes. People that walk about 9,800 steps, around 5 miles, are 51% less likely to develop dementia. So if you're getting those 10,000 steps a day, you are at a much, much lower risk of developing dementia. That's a really good, and that's from a 2022 Harvard study. They say physical activity increases blood flow to the brain, promotes new brain cell growth, and cognitive function. So very, very good news there. And that's just walking. And that's not hard. Even my fat ass can do it. Can tell you this, I walk today without my Spiral Wave Maxes on. And I have Spiral Wave Maxes and Hokas. Those are the shoes that I wear when I walk. Today, I was in a crunch, and I had the dog already on the leash, and I didn't have any shoes on, and we were going out, and I threw on for one of my walks a pair of New Balances I have without my orthotic inserts in them, and my feet are I'm regretting that right now. They're killing me. Killing me. And I know New Balances are people really love those, but I need that special cushioned sole, and I've only been able to find that with the Spiral Wave Max and with Hokas. Those are the only ones, and those are very high-end shoes, but they do as advertised. They really protect your feet. They also have a really wide sole on them, I think wider than your actual foot, which helps break down the energy of your foot. And I know the Wave Maxes have a spring inside of them that helps push back up, which is pretty cool. I don't know what all the Hokas have. The only thing I know about the Hokas, they're just super gooey soft, much like walking around in a pair of Ofos. Ofos are good slippers, but I'm walking, and you can't walk in your slides without screwing your feet up. All right, on to how to fight dementia, part two. They say get that sleep. Make sure you get enough sleep. You're shooting for 6 to 8 hours a night. They also say you should be doing puzzles and things to challenge your brain, word puzzles, crossword puzzles, whatever it is that challenges your brain. Do some of that stuff, board games, adult education classes, challenge yourself mentally to keep your brain sharp. Manage your stress. We talk about stress being a killer and being the onset to so many bad, bad diseases. Dementia is just another one of those. They also say you should socialize and you should wear a helmet. Not because you're a big dummy walking around that's going to fall. No, if you are riding a bike or doing things like that for exercise, to wear a helmet. We're going to get into that in another related story here in a little while, too. They also say to completely avoid smoking and reduce alcohol intake, and then stay hydrated is the last one. To drink a lot of water. And they say right now it's hot, and if you're doing strenuous activity, really increase your water. Here's what I know today. I drink, no problem, I drink 2 liters of iced tea because I have 1 liter bottles, and I drink 2 of those. Plus, I had a big bottle of zero sugar Gatorade, and I had 2 or 3 big, tall, probably 30-ounce glasses of water. And I have not been peeing my brains out. It's that hot. And like I said, I got 9,000 steps in today. I've had a lot of exercise. So I needed all of that extra intake. Remember, take into consideration your fluid intake when we are talking about these hot times of the summer. For those of us listening to the podcast that are in summertime, like everybody in America and in Europe right now, it is summertime for all of us. So take that into consideration. All right, let's get into a very weird article I found about injuries skyrocketing on, you know, the rental e-bikes and the rental e-scooters. I've never been on one of those in my life. I refuse it. At my last job, when I was doing campus security at the university, I learned to hate those things. Hate them. Detest them. I detest them. And there were nights, and we were a closed campus at night, and therefore they weren't allowed on campus ever. and the kids are all lazy and they don't want to walk off because they, you know, they don't want to drive. They would walk off campus, go drink, go to a frat party, whatever it is, and then walk back on campus. Well, they didn't want to walk back on, so they would all jump on e-scooters and just run the gates, and we were chasing them all the time, and then they'd ditch them, and then we would go around at night, every night, and collect scooters all around campus and take them off. So now I detest those things. I've just awful memories of e-scooters and e-bikes. Since campus was closed, they wouldn't let them on. The reason they wouldn't allow them on campus is because at night is when they go around to collect them, to recharge them, and bring them back to whatever they do with them. Well, we wouldn't let those people on campus because it was locked up at night for security purposes, and that became the problem. So they just banned them from campus at where I worked, which was crazy. But those things are a nightmare, and everybody rides them like idiots, and they go really fast down the sidewalks. I am not a fan. They are not safe, and nobody wears a helmet when they ride those things, and some of those things go close to 30 miles an hour. But here is the interesting take on that article. So in 2017, when those were really still pretty new, they were looking at 750 recorded injuries. 2 years ago, 2022, there were almost 24,000 recorded injuries nationwide on the e-scooters and e-bikes. They say e-scooter injuries spiked from 8,500 to 56,000 in the same five-year period. Yeah, and that was just e-bikes. I'm sorry, the first one. So 750 to almost 24,000. E-scooters, which are the real problem to me, at least the e-bikes, the rental bikes, I don't see people using them so much. All the kids I saw on e-bikes, they own them, and those could come and go as they pleased. E-scooters went from 8,500 injuries in 2017 to almost 57,000 by 2022, and that is a lot. They say there are undeniable health and environmental benefits to small electric vehicle use, but structural changes must be taken to promote safe riding, like wearing an effing helmet, you dumb effs. Sorry, I'm passionate about this, but really, wear a helmet. I know you don't own the scooter, so you're renting it. You're like, why am I going to carry a helmet around? That's stupid, and nobody does, and they need to change the laws of what needs to happen. You need to wear a helmet on those things, and it would really, really help. They say U.S. Emergency Department data on injuries from e-bicycles, 45,000, e-scooters, 189,000, and then conventional regular bikes in the emergency room, 2.49 million, and conventional scooters, 304,000 over the same five-year period. There's a lot more bicycles on the road. They say injured riders. This is interesting. Now they get racial with it, and it's weird that they even went there. Injured riders on these things were electric vehicle crashes, so that could be scooters or e-bikes, typical tend to be white males in their late 20s. That would be college-age kids. But here's where it gets weird. Those who got in vehicle crashes tended to be slightly older and helmetless. So here's what we got. The people that were injured in these e-crashes typically were white males in their 20s. Those who got in electric vehicle crashes, however, overall were not wearing helmets. They were a little older than in their 20s. And most of, they say, more likely, and this is nationally, they were black. Black riders made up 11% of injured bicyclists and 24% of e-bicyclists and 17% of scooter users and 25% of the e-scooter group, which is a large percentage of injuries, considering you got a racial group that is around 10% of the nation, black people, that's a lot of it. They don't give a reason why. They just throw that in there and then walk away from it. They say, yet black riders across all vehicle groups had a 24% lower odds of hospitalization compared to white riders. They say, to our knowledge, the finding of increased frequency of injury among black e-vehicle riders is novel to this study, and they can't explain it from the data. So why did they throw that in there at all? Why is that there? Why did they put the race card into the study? I don't know. It's weird, but they did. But it's also, like I said, the fact that you're looking at 10% of the population being a huge chunk of injuries on these e-vehicles, and this is both bikes and scooters, it's something to look at. You're like, wow, that's a strange anomaly. All right, the study authors also determined that alcohol use was more common amongst injured e-bicyclists, 7%, than conventional bicyclists, 4%, and e-scooter riders, 9%. So I can tell you right now, that's college kids. That's exactly who that is. The drunken white male in their 20s, college-age kid on the e-scooters and e-bikes are drunk, and they go off campus, they go to frat parties. They don't want to walk home for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want to pay the extra exorbitant Uber fares at a certain hour. They jump on an e-scooter and head back to campus, and then they end up having a hell of a lot of injuries. So don't be drunk, and wear a helmet. That would be the biggest and the best thing. Don't be drunk and wear a helmet, and I could save your life. They say 76% of New York City cycling deaths in 2023, just last year. So if everybody killed in a cycling death in New York City last year, 76% were on e-bikes. And I can tell you what that is. That is, those things are fast as F. The e-bikes are like, it's like a motorcycle. And people don't respect them like a motorcycle, and they don't wear helmets, which you have to if it's a motorcycle by law. It's strange that they have allowed this to go on. I wonder what the reasoning is, especially in states like California and New York, which are so libby-libby and very big into big government and things like that, that really will insist you wear your seatbelt, wear a helmet, blah, 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 blah. I'm very surprised that has never been brought up yet with the e-bikes. There's got to be a reason. It's got to be some big money behind it, or somebody raising money for politicians. There's something going on that they don't want to crap all over that parade of the e-bike money that's coming in. All right, now I have a gross story for you. I have a very gross story for you. And it's sad. Unless you're a lady and you might be like, hells to the yeah, or maybe you're like, this is gross. I'm on the latter side of that argument. I'm with you people that say this is gross. We are going back to the full 70s. They say the trend right now in ladies is the bush is back. And I'm not talking about George W. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the bush. I'm talking about the merkin. I'm talking about the real life fro between the legs. That's what I'm talking about. They have some celebrities that they point to, and I'm looking at pictures of, and I can't unsee those. And that would be Doja Cat and Julia Fox both wearing see-through bodysuits with big, gigantic bushes, like 70s-style huge bushes. It's pretty creepy. Now they got salon owners they're talking to, and the salon owners are saying, oh, yeah, the full bush is making a comeback, with more women requesting bikini waxes and minor cleanups of the region instead of to go completely hairless, which is a strange one all in all of itself. The runway's lovely and nicely trimmed and waxed up is beautiful in my opinion, but the big moose fro is just not working for me. I don't know, maybe you like it, but we're going straight 70s. They also say, now this is funny, the hair display was a far cry from the recent heyday of the Brazilian waxes and laser hair removal, which was popularized in the 90s. Remember, waxing is incredibly painful. You women are way more badass than a man, because if I had my junk waxed, I would cry, and I would never do it again. I'm certain of it. I would be like, oh, God, no, it's torture. Yeah. I would scream bloody hell. So women go in and just get that thing waxed on the regular, and you guys are insanely tough. You can also shoot humans out of those things and live to tell the tale. But here's what I know. Women now, who when it was all the rage did not have any sort of giant fro down there at all, when we were talking hairless and the runways and all that stuff and the triangles and all the wonderful things. They got those lasered off, and now there's people trying to get them back. So people that wax their beeves completely bald or very small in the 90s are now looking at ways to bring it back. Yeah, with the resurgence of women's body hairs from pits to pubes, those who permanently removed it decades ago are in a weird situation. And people are saying, I wish I could grow it back. And now like people are looking at Merkins and stuff. Because you wax that off, that's gone. That's not coming back. Unlike the fat on your belly and your ass, those come back. That comes back. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad times. Sad times. I have a article that I'm going to call a big, fat B to the S on right now. And this is my final article of the show today on this fine Monday. It's BS. It's BS. It's BS. As a guy that's on the Ozempic now, I can speak for all Ozempicians, not Olympians, Ozempicians. I'm an Ozempician. We all know it was a drug created for type 2 diabetes. We all know it has been a phenomenon in the weight loss industry, and it has changed the game. And I have heard it affecting gym memberships, personal trainers. So many people are on this drug to lose weight that they are no longer needing trainers and whatnot. I have heard that over and over, and I will tell you, I believe that. But this article I'm calling BS on simply because of my personal experience, where today I ate like a freaking cow that had been on a hunger strike for the last 7 weeks because my crap wore off at the last day of the week. They are saying that so many people are on this that it is affecting the food industry. They say the biggest losers at grocery stores are snacks and confectionery makers, which saw people on weight loss meds buy 52% less of their products. They also purchased 47% less baked goods, 28% less soda and sugary beverages, 17% less booze, and 13% less processed foods. I say BS, 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 B effing S. And here's why. My tastes have not changed. Now, if you're really working out and really like, hey, I'm losing weight, maybe they're seeing some results to where they're like, hey, this is the first time I've really had this much progress in my life. I'm really going to go all in and be healthy right now. Maybe that's what's going on. But I'm eating the exact same. I'm just eating a lot less. And that's the only difference. Hasn't made me want to eat healthier. Hasn't made me go, oh, man, I really just don't feel like having that donut. That donut does not look good. No, that donut still looks good to me. But I'm not going to have three of them. I have a half of one and then be like, oh, that was good. And then I'm good. I'm full. So I don't know where this article comes from because I'm calling BS. Hey, if you're on Ozempic, hit me up. Remember, best way to get me is in the contact me, instant message me through Instagram. I really do not follow up on the Facebook very often at all. And Facebook's a scam, even though Instagram is the same damn company. Because you have to download that app where they spy on all your information and have that, or you can't get your messages on Facebook. And that's why I rarely check my messages on Facebook. But I check the Instagrams all the time because it's right on the app and you don't have to add anything extra. So BS, 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 BS on Ozempic taking a bite out of the grocery market, because I think that's just a load of crap. Now, if there's that many, I think if that is even any truth to that whatsoever, it would be because there's a lot of people, so many people on it, like so many people are taking it. And I know that by not being able to get it when my prescription becomes due. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What happened? I can't get it. How many days? Another week? Seriously? I've waited weeks and weeks and weeks when I first got on it to get any, because all these jackasses that were using it for weight loss drugs, which I am now one of, they were getting it all instead of us diabetics. So that's crazy. All right, I'm going to get up out of here. My goal is on 8,000 steps a day is the goal for this week. If I hit that, I will hit the goal, which over 55,000, a little tiny bit less than 8,000 steps a day, is my goal. And just know, I only hit 8,000 one day, and I broke that by 1,000. I did 9,000 on that one day. Every other day this week, I was well under the 8,000 steps. So I got to step it up about 2,000 extra steps a day on average to really make this work out. So wish me luck. I hope you guys are doing well on your fitness journey. I will talk to you again on Friday as we get into the bonus pod, and I will update you on the latest challenge. So stay at it. Stay positive. Be kind to yourself. If you can get on Ozempic, go ahead and do that. I'm going to tell you. It's really expensive, though, if you can't get it from your doctor. I would not be on it if I wasn't getting it through insurance. Promise that. All right, I will talk to you guys on Friday for the bonus pod. See ya.